You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome again to another edition of the Red Reporter Podcast. I'm your host, PK, and alongside me this week, we have Wick and Eric. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. I'm looking forward to hearing the new intro music for the second week again. So, yes, I'm psyched about week two of Cincinnati Reds baseball.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this goes as we try and record as we watch a game. So
yeah,
this will be a fun experience.
Yeah, it was a little bit easier last week because the game ended so early that we were able to get our recording done afterwards. We had plenty of time. But this week we're smack dab in the middle of Reds Pirates. So we're recording this on Monday night. So it's Brandon Finnegan against Tyler Glasnow. We're in the still in the second inning, so
Glasnow is done.
Glasnow is out. It's obviously, if you're listening to this, this game has already ended. But if you hear any crazy reactions in the background and that seem like they're out of nowhere, that's what's going on.
Yeah, so it's a Rob Manfred special right now. It's an hour exactly into the game, and we're in the top of the second. Tyler Glasnow threw I think like 64 pitches to get through five outs and walked basically everybody in the Cincinnati lineup. So if you're frustrated about what you've seen from the likes of Cody Reed and or Robert Stevenson, at least let it be known that there are other teams that have very highly touted pitching prospects who can't quite find the plate. So
it's a good point. It's a good point. So
I was going to say, I mentioned in the preview today, somebody for MLB did a poll of GMs before the season, and Glasnow was like the number two starter on basically a straw poll by GM. So, yeah, even guys like this can have nights like this, so we can calm down a little bit.
Right. Puts everything else into perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess just to go into it a little bit, the Reds had a pretty good opening week, so they played a series at home against the Phillies and then went to St. Louis, won both of those series 2-1, so they are 4-2 at this point. They are leading the NL Central as we record this, which is probably not something I would have expected to say a week ago, but I think for me, it's not just that they've won four of their first six games. You know, fine. They started out, you know, almost that good last year too, but just the manner of which that they've been able to win these games, they haven't been blowing these teams out. They're actually winning with pitching, which I never would have guessed. So, yes, that's, I think to me, that's the biggest storyline here with this first week of the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question mark going into the season was obviously the starting rotation. And you had a first week where Brandon Finnegan had a great start. Amir Garrett looked really good. Scott Feldman bounced back from a bad first start. And you had more, quality pitching performances from the starting rotation than bad ones. And I'm not sure I thought that would happen for a week the entire season coming into this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at how the Reds were, I guess how they were forced to stack their rotation to start the season after having no Homer Bailey and no Anthony DeSclafani, your opening day starter, Scott Feldman, your number two starter, Brandon Finnegan, both of whom have, they basically pitched shutouts or at least led the pitching staff deep into games that eventually ended up being shutouts in the first week of the season. So, you know, as much as that looked like it was going to be a weak point, both with the inexperience and the guys behind those two and the injuries in front of them, the fact that they can boast three shutouts in their first six games, I think I read somewhere it was the first time since 1980 that the Cincinnati Reds have done that. And obviously the Phillies aren't exactly a juggernaut at this point, but to go into Busch Stadium for their home opening series and do what they did to what's a pretty solid baseball team. It's not a vintage St. Louis Cardinals baseball team, but a good team nonetheless. I thought was pretty damn impressive. I was excited mm-hmm. about that all the way around. And obviously we mentioned Finnegan and Feldman, but the way Amir Garrett came out and took them out on the first game of that series was one of the more impressive outings I've seen from a youngster in the Cincinnati franchise in a while. And obviously we've seen a lot of young guys emerge over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, you know, echoing that, it's been a really impressive series. And, you know, you look at, you know, what Garrett was able to do. And then, you know, really, I think when you saw what happened Saturday when, you know, Bronson Arroyo, and we'll get into him in a little bit, but seeing that they kind of got blown out Saturday, for them to bounce back Sunday and just absolutely put a hurting on the Cardinals, winning 8-0 on Sunday, you know, that I think speaks volumes about the kind of team that this is compared to, you know, the last couple of teams. Because I think the last couple of seasons, Maybe you might have seen a getaway day lineup and maybe their heads aren't in it all the way, you know, being a Sunday after you just got your butts kicked. But hey, this team was resilient and bounced back in a big way on Sunday. And I think that's really encouraging to see.
Yeah, when you saw Scott Feldman versus Carlos Martinez as the pitching matchup, it was hard to have too much optimism. And yeah, I couldn't believe how well they played.
Yeah, I mean, if you look it up, and you know, before the season started, obviously we weren't talking a whole lot about wins and losses being what was important, and for the goal of the 2017 Cincinnati Reds, we've talked often, and not just us, but other people have, about wanting to make sure that the right people take the right steps to advance their, you know, their careers and their performance and their experience in 2017. And what's cool about the way that the Reds have started this season is they're not just 4-2, they haven't just won those four games, but it's the guys that you hoped you would see take that next step that have been doing it. You know, Finnegan has looked the part of what Fangraphs specifically pulled out as a guy who could take that next step and kind of anchor the Reds' rotation. Yeah, you watched Eugenio Suarez yesterday, made two fantastic plays at third base, which is kind of, you know, obviously this time last year, he'd never played third base except when he was 19 years old. This way he started his season last year was error prone, mistake prone, bad footwork. And then yesterday he makes a great stab and turns a double play with two runners on, made a great charging the ball play immediately after that to end the inning. He's looked great over there. The infield defense lost Brandon Phillips, who's one of the best second basemen defensively in, you know, the last few generations of baseball players. Yet the infield defense has looked pretty dang solid so far this year. So yeah, I think you can see the bits and pieces that were, you know, that knew that 2017 was going to be a proving ground year for them. And so far, so good from those guys. It's not been, you know, it's not Joey Votto hitting seven home runs in the first week that's carried the team to 4-2. It's been a lot of the young guys.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you look at the thing that has impressed me the most, even outside of the starting pitching, has been the bullpen and how good the bullpen has been so far. Yeah, I think at this point, you know, last season we were already starting to see the kind of bullpen meltdowns and blowups that we would have come to characterize the 2016 season with. But when you look at the job that they've done down there, you know, if you take outside of Robert Stevenson, the rest of the bullpen has given up two runs between everyone else. So, you know, I think even especially this kind of year where you don't have a lot of starters who can go really deep into games, I think, you know, Finnegan went seven in his first start, and that's, I think, the longest outing we've had so far. So, you know, we're going to need a lot of innings from these guys, and, you know, you already have Raisel Iglesias tossing zeros up on the board, Michael Lorenzen tossing up zeros on the board, and pinch-hitting home runs out of nowhere. So, Yeah,
Lorenzen has looked nasty on the mound. That's been really fun to watch. Yeah, he did.
I think all of these guys are just clicking on all cylinders to start the year. And outside of a couple of names that namely Robert Stevenson and Cody Reed, the rest of the pitching staff has been pretty much lights out so far.
Yeah, if you look up at this between this time last year and where the Reds currently stand now, I'm not sure that Dick Williams in the front office has done or addressed needs better anywhere else across the organization at any of the levels in the minor leagues or at any position at the major league level better than what's happened in the Cincinnati Reds bullpen. You look up at this time last year, Iglesias was in the rotation, soon to be on the DL. Michael Lorenzen was, on the DL with a forearm issue. There was no Drew Storen. Guys like Cody Reed and Robert Stevenson, despite the fact they've not had great returns early this year, they're still hugely talented arms that were in the minors. And you look up at the arms that they have and they can boast now. And it's an impressive group back there. Blake Wood has looked really, really good as a guy who was a very under-the-radar pickup this time last year and was one of the few relievers that actually pitched all year long last year and was relatively successful. But, obviously with the addition of Storen, the signing of Feldman, which I think at the time was hopefully going to be more of a bullpen augment than it was a starting pitching augment, and you look at, those two guys, a healthy Iglesias, healthy Lorenzen. Cingrani actually threw 9 straight strikes yesterday, which I'm not sure he's ever done. And the bullpen is, it's gone from historically awful to probably the strength of the entire team in one calendar year. And I think it honestly, assuming knock on wood, most everybody stays healthy, I think it'll continue to be pretty much the rock solid thing that the team can lean on for the bulk of this year, because it's got an absurd amount of talent down there right now.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that, coming into the season, that this would actually be a strength for this team?
Yeah.
Be in the back end of the bullpen. And, I think it was going to be kind of an experiment from day one, with Price kind of doing the closure by committee sort of thing, or the team doesn't have a set closer, and managing his pitching staff differently than pretty much any manager has in history at this point, right? And allowing his closer type pitchers to go multiple innings. We've already seen Raisel Iglesias with a 2-inning save, so I think there was a lot of room for error here to where, if this experiment didn't go right, they could easily be, 1-5 at this point, because it was just so, and they've been in a couple of pretty close games here with it to start the year. And, credit to Brian Price, credit to Dick Williams for putting this thing together, and they're seeing good early dividends. Now, it's only been a week, obviously, but, I think that, as long as things kind of keep progressing the way that they are and these guys are filling into their roles, this could continue to go the way that it has been.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like we've already seen Raisel Iglesias and Drew Storen both pick up saves. You've seen Tony Cingrani pitch the 9th inning and pitch effectively. You've seen Blake Wood go multiple innings. I think that to Brian Price's defense, I guess is the best way to put it. I feel like he's probably had, if he had his druthers, he would have had a bullpen that he could do this kind of stuff with long before this year. But he didn't exactly have that opportunity. I know last year, especially with JJ Hoover getting booted, at one point Ross Ohlendorf making $800,000 was the highest paid guy in the entire bullpen, which is an indictment both of the inexperience and the talent level for a lot of what the Reds had to boast. But this time around, he's got what it was that he really kind of talked about often, even 2 years ago, about having a versatile staff. And it's been cool to see him kind of carry through with those early season pronouncements that he was going to be creative down there. There are going to be a lot of guys throwing a lot of pitches from the bullpen, but hey, it's the strength. Let's see what they can do. And so far I've been extremely impressed with how it's turned out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that, you know, it's, yeah, as you said, it's, you know, kind of, hopefully it's something that, you know, Price has been wanting to do for a while and is now getting the opportunity. And, you know, maybe this is something to where, you know, he can show that this is something that is an asset to the organization and might save his job, for lack of a better, you know, way to put it. Because, you know, he was really kind of at the hot, on the hot seat at the end of last year. Still, yeah, has some issues going in. I don't think that he is guaranteed to stick around after this year. But, you know, if he can continue to get this kind of production out of, you know, what was kind of put together on the fly, yeah, I think that I think that he could stick around for a little while. After that, let's talk about, you know, we've been talking about the younger players, but there's a couple of veterans that have been kind of the stalwarts of this team so far too. You know, you look at a guy like Bronson Arroyo, who, you know, made his triumphant return to the Reds this weekend. Didn't look too great in his outing, you know, but was, yeah, I think he looked better than he was pitching, than his results probably dictated. But I think that, you know, for Bronson Arroyo, I think, does it look like to you that he might stick around in the rotation for a little bit? Or, you know, what did you think of his performance?
I guess the best way to describe Arroyo's Saturday outing is it was needed and probably kind of expected, and not very impressive at all, but also extremely predictable. You know, obviously we're talking about a guy who hasn't thrown in the big leagues since late in 2014, is fought through several iterations of rehab from Tommy John surgery. You know, and was doing it at 38, 39 years old, wasn't doing it as a 22 year old either. So, you know, in terms of the recovery process for a guy like that, I think if anything, his willingness to go through the entire process and to dedicate himself to being, you know, a full-on, full rehab, I'm going to give this one more shot kind of guy. You know, that's Bronson Arroyo. That's who he was when he was with the Reds in that first stint from, what, 2006 to 2013, I guess. And that's the kind of guy that had always shown that dedication to just wanting to pitch and really, really enjoying doing it. So I think with Bronson, A, I'm impressed with his dedication to that. B, I think the first start was kind of going to be a throwout anyway, given the fact that he was kind of coming back on quick notice, didn't have a whole lot of time to prep in spring training, and is still going to have a lot of rust to shake off. But with Bronson specifically, you know, he's a guy who throws 85 to 87 with his fastball, but he always kind of has. So with him, I'd be a lot more concerned if there was a wild delineation between what he's what he did on Saturday and what he's done for the bulk of his successful career. But there's not, you know, it's still the same kind of stuff, which, you know, if anybody's going to be able to get by on that kind of stuff, it's somebody who's pitched with that stuff before, which is what he's done. And I feel like the dedication to come back from that long of a layoff, while he was still under contract for a large portion of it with the Diamondbacks, it wasn't like he was, like, you know, pseudo retired and decided to come back and give it another run. I think it shows that he's serious about this. It's not some cameo. And I feel like with Arroyo, I'm willing to give him a longer leash than just one start to find out. The question becomes whether or not, like, it's a wise decision from the Reds end. You know, from the support Bronson Arroyo, the player end, I'm fully behind it because I feel like he's invested in it. With the Reds, how Arroyo fits into what they've got going with the rest of the young starters is kind of where that question mark becomes. So I'm interested to see what he does his second and third time out, because I feel like the Reds will at least give him that long of a leash. But Saturday didn't exactly do a ton to inspire confidence. Of course, you know, to touch back on what we started the podcast talking about, the Cardinals have been shut out for six impressive innings by Amir Garrett the night before. Like, then they came out on Saturday in their home series opener, kind of gunning to get runs on the board, and Arroyo just happened to be the guy in the sight lines for that on Saturday, unfortunately. But I'm willing to see what he's got for a little bit longer. I think the Reds are obviously in a position to be able to give him the innings to support that. I'm not wildly optimistic it's going to pan out, but I do think it's admirable, put it that way.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that, you know, he's going to be the guy there until they have a better option. But I think as soon as they have a better option, I think the writing will just kind of be on the wall for everyone involved. Like, I tend to think that Bronson's the type of guy who, he's not going to be blindsided if, you know, if all of a sudden he wakes up and he's the sixth best option in the starting rotation here. Like, I don't think that that's something that's going to catch him off guard, you know, given just his personality and how long he's been in the game. So
yeah, sure.
I think that as long as it continues to, there continues to be a fit for him on the roster, I think it'll continue to go well, hopefully. You know, I do like what he brings to the rest of the team as far as, you know, you always hear about him being that guy in the clubhouse who's, you know, taking younger pitchers, and especially with this staff of primarily younger pitchers, you know, to have a guy like Bronson who's been around, who can kind of, you know, take questions, and just a guy that you can kind of, you know, kick it with. I think that, you know, that's as important than some of the stuff that he's doing on the field. Now, whether that remains to be the case throughout the whole season, we'll see. But I think for now, it's a good fit.
Yeah, completely agree. And I mean, if you look up at Scott Feldman, the other veteran on the pitching staff, and you know, leading off the season, allowing a home run to Cesar Hernandez, who had eight home runs and 1,300 plus career PAs. And then serving up another one to Freddie Galvis, who slugged 380 last year as a shortstop. You know, we reacted initially to him as, oh God, they're using these guys as meat until the younger guys can get out there and get their clock in. I feel like Arroyo's got enough of a track record to deserve a long enough leash to kind of show if he can turn the corner again, if the Reds are committed to making that be what their priority is. And I think that's the key here. Is they're not, you know, I don't think if you're trying to buy 12 innings in April, whatever, if you're actually trying to say, hey, this guy might be able to start 15, 20 games and then mop up in the bullpen for the rest of the year because he really wants to, and because he's good enough to actually do well in that role, which I think is what they signed Feldman to be, but now Feldman's kind of been thrust into that rotation spot higher up on the pecking order than Arroyo. If Arroyo can kind of be what it was that they thought they were going to get with Feldman when they first signed Feldman, which is that veteran guy who can be that swingman, pitch out of the bullpen if need be, mop up when he needs to, but be that, you know, kind of steadying influence in a bullpen full of guys that, you know, barely even know what it's like to have 25,000 people in a stadium, much less what to do when they get tasked with being in front of it. I think they're interested in seeing what he can do in that kind of role. And, you know, it's been a long damn time, but Arroyo does have some pretty prominent bullpen experience. I know that's what he was tasked with doing in 2004, back when the Red Sox won their first World Series in, what, 86 years or whatever it was. So he's done it. You know, he's not been a full-time starter. He's not going to take it to motion personally, I don't think. I think he's kind of legitimately at 40 years old still kind of excited to be there. And, you know, if that maintains better than his stuff does, perhaps they give him a chance to be that kind of swingman guy. And, yeah, you know, I don't think having him around – it doesn't hurt how 2017 is going to end up in either way. The question for me has always been how much he's kind of been invested in it. And the more I look at it, the more I kind of get the impression that he really is. And if that's the case, then I say let it roll until it looks like it's falling apart at the seams. So,
yep, I think that sounds good. I think that's right on the money. So with that, I think we're just going to leave this episode. I think we're going to keep it short and sweet this week. So you know, make sure to keep following us at redreporter.com. There's plenty going on with the team. Hopefully they can kind of keep this going the way that it has been. And for Eric and Wick, I'm BK. Peace out.
Right on. See you guys.
Right. See you guys.